Okay, welcome to the next session about team development and application lifecycle management in SharePoint projects. Test. Okay, then I start again. Welcome to the next presentation about team development and application lifecycle management. The previous sessions were all very positive. Silverlight development is very easy. Visual Studio development is very easy. Now it goes a little bit deeper. It goes about development in teams, development in large projects, in complex projects. So maybe I have some bad news for today, but let's see. First to my person, Torsten Mandelko, my name. I also come from Germany. I'm working there at Steria Mammut. We belong to the Steria group. And I'm working there as a SharePoint consultant, architect, and developer since more than 5 years. Currently, I'm working at the world's largest reinsurance company in Munich as an architect in large SharePoint projects. We are doing migrations, extranet, intranet. So we are also working with Team Foundation Server, with ALM. So what I tell you is right out of the practice, right out of projects. So hopefully something interesting for you. My colleague Matthias told you about Steria, so I will skip these slides. Some special information about Steria in Germany, because it's important for the session today, because we have two separate competencies in Steria, which are very important for the SharePoint ALM, because we have our SharePoint developers, so we have people right out of the projects which are doing the code, which have the same problems as you may have, and we have ALM experts which are doing ALM projects like TFS introduction in companies, development processes, but for .NET development, it's a strong partnership with Microsoft, Team System Quality Board member, and partner programs. So these both competencies came together, and right out of this, we have this SharePoint application lifecycle management. First, some facts you may know. SharePoint platform is out of the box, is a tool, you can work with it for collaboration, for wikis, but in a lot of companies, what I see is that SharePoint is customized a lot, and they are doing an internet portal, an extranet portal, custom applications, these Silverlight apps, and a lot of custom portals are implemented in SharePoint, and there's a lot of complexity in there. And in my example, at the reinsurance company, we are doing exactly the internet sites, migration of existing sites to SharePoint. We are creating an extranet portal, also migration, at least, again, intranet team sites. And there's a lot of custom development and a lot of problems, because something is going wrong in SharePoint projects. What I often see, and it's not only in the project where I am, it's a lot of projects what I see in companies, is that SharePoint code or SharePoint projects is often of a low or a poor quality. That means performance, stability, code quality. Tests, unit tests are often done manually. There are a lot of manual steps like installation of applications, the building, the testing, and at least there's very less transparency in projects. Like a question, which requirements are implemented in the next release? Which bugs have been found? When are they implemented? The tracking, the management of these projects is done with Excel, with Outlook, with emails. It's very problematic in my eyes. And what happens is, projects and budget are often overdue in SharePoint projects. Business requirements cannot be implemented at the time, and the acceptance of SharePoint in companies is endangered. And I hope a lot or some of you are facing the same problems. Project in time, high quality, no issues. Hands up, please. Okay, let's see him. Okay. And what happens is that SharePoint development doesn't make really fun. I can tell you from a lot of customers I see SharePoint development, they often are afraid of this, and we need to do it better. It must be possible. And one, maybe opportunity is Team Foundation Server to use it in your project, and I will show you this today, how Team Foundation Server can help, how the ALM methodology can help in these projects to make SharePoint projects much better in future. Because not only some people raised their hands for the question if they are working with TFS. Maybe I can ask again, who is working with TFS already? Yes, maybe 10-15%. I will cover in the first area some Team Foundation Server basics. And Team Foundation Server, and this is a good news for you, is included in these products. So you can use it in your projects when you have paid for these licenses, or you can buy it for your own and use it then in your projects. What is Team Foundation Server? Team Foundation Server is a server product. It's centrally installed in the company. It uses a database and IIS, has a web front end, and covers all these aspects like project management, requirement management, version control, build automation. And what you see here in this cycle are all the tools which can be used to access Team Foundation Server. I will cover these aspects in the next slides. So you see Team Foundation Server, and the idea behind is, with this server product, to bring all people which are involved in a project into this platform. This may be the business analysts for requirements management, an architect, the developers, and every user should use Team Foundation Server as a central platform, and all information which appears in the project should be stored and managed in Team Foundation Server. From a higher perspective, Team Foundation Server includes processes. So you need in a development project, you need a process like HI, CMMI, Scrum, and Team Foundation Server helps you. It provides templates which helps you to follow exactly these processes. A lot of people raised their hands when they said, we are using Team Foundation Server as version control, which means all the code which is created in the project is stored in Team Foundation Server. Work item tracking. Work item tracking is a central functionality. It means that every information, like a bug, a task, is stored in a work item and is stored in Team Foundation Server. I will show it in a demo. Build automation, this means the compilation of the code to an assembly or in SharePoint, the WSP packages, means build automation. And finally, the reporting, which gives you reports for all this information that appears in the project with reporting services. So the first important thing is the process guidance. Process guidance means that you have in Team Foundation Server, you have process templates pre-installed for HI, for CMMI, and these process templates help you to follow exactly these processes in your project. And I can show you this in a short demo. So who have not seen Team Foundation Server until yet, I have started Visual Studio 2010, and right here I have my Team Explorer. So Team Foundation Server has no additional tool. It includes directly in Team Foundation Server. So I have here my Team Explorer, and I can connect to my Team Foundation Server, who is remote, and then I see all my already existing team projects. But here I can create a new team project. here it provides two templates. I will create it now. And now a new team project is created. What is a team project? A team project is the topest node in TFS where this information is stored. You can see it here. I shouldn't have done this. Yes, I planned to be in time, the first one to be in time today. I see I will fail. So this team project covers bad idea, I see. So here I have already created two team projects, one for an HI project and one for an ZMMI. And each team project has its source controls folder, its work items. So I have also a typical question is, when do I create a new team project? So maybe a team project may be an application which a definitive group of people work together, then I would create a team project. Maybe here in this team project, it's an HI project. All information regarding this SPALM project or SPALM application is stored. These both team projects, these both different processes, contain special templates for work items. This one project is an HI project, and here I have work items of type, sorry, it's German, but user story is English. problem. So here I have, different types of work items, and in ZMMI, when I create new work item, I have different types of work items. In Agile, I have a user story. A requirement is a user story. In ZMMI, a requirement is a requirement on Vodafone. So both templates define different type of reports, different type of work items where I can store my information. These process templates can be customized, so it's defined in XML, you can download it, you can create new work items, and so you can customize your special process, maybe based on an HI process. The next important thing is the source control, which means that in Team Foundation Server, all source code is stored. And again, I can show you here in my demo, my team project SPALM has a source control folder. A double click shows me here all my projects which have been uploaded into TFS. How does this work? I create a new project for this test. Oh, I shouldn't do this. So I've created here a new project locally on my machine, and source control means I can add this project to source control. I can select my team project, can select the folder, and now you see the icons are changing. My project is under source control, and when I do my check-in, which means now all my changes are sent to TFS, Now all my source code is uploaded to TFS, and now other team members can connect to Team Foundation server and can open my project, and I can work together with others with this code. But this code is locally on my machine, so when others are changing the code, they are getting a copy locally on their machine, are working locally, and if they are finished, then they need to upload, they need to check in their code into Team Foundation server. So I will do this here. I will add for a test a new item. I take an event receiver. Wrong decision. No cancel button. So I create this code. And this code is done, is automatically added into source code, and other items are automatically checked out to me so that I can make have them blocked for changes. So again here I can check in my changes. Important, the comment. And what I can do here during my check-in, I can assign these changes and say, this check-in, these changes I made are related maybe to a user story. So I can say, I made changes, I implemented a user story, so I can say, I implemented these both user stories with this code, or I can assign this change to existing bug and say, I resolved this bug with this change, and can do my check-in. And now, with reports or with queries, everybody knows, okay, Torsten made this change because of a bug, and he resolved this bug. What I also can do, or what an important functionality is, I will make here a change, or important change. So I will change this code here. Again, check this code into TFS. So an important functionality is the view history. So I can see every change that has been made to this code after a check-in. So I can see, oh, Matthias has changed this code, and I can see this code maybe weeks ago, he changed his code. I can get this version and restore it, or I can compare this code directly and can see this is the server version, this is my local version. I can see, okay, Torsten changed this line of code, so I can follow changes back and see who has changed what in the code in the project. Important functionality. So here are a lot of different other functions. I can go on, the time is not enough to go deeper. What if an important functionality is this this get latest version, because other developers are changing the code, doing a check-in, so I have to request the latest version of all code so that I get a copy of this code to my machine. So these are the basic functions of source control. The term shelf means, it's maybe an advanced topic, means that when I do my check-in, all my code is published to all users. But in a shelf, when I create my shelf, I can check in my code to TFS, but it's not visible by other users. It's in my shelf, so I can check in and can get to a different computer and get this code back, but all other users are not seeing it. An important functionality is also the branching. Branching means when we develop our first release 1.0, and when we make a release 2.0, then we make a branch of this code so that we have two parallel lines of code, or timelines of code. So these topics are very important when you have multiple releases you need to manage. The work item tracking I have introduced, these were these user stories, bugs. I have showed them already. An important functionality is you can edit work items also with Excel. I can go back to my Visual Studio. So here I have my work items, my product planning. All these user stories are work items. So here you see a work item. So for a test, I will create a new work item of type user story. Administrator can delete seminars. So here I have a requirement. I can assign this requirement to a person who is responsible. I can plan this requirement should be implemented in iteration 2. And I can again attach documents and other links. I have saved this here, and now I can directly create, for instance, a task and say create function. So I create now a work item of type task, assign it maybe to our developer. And now both work items are created, are linked together, and my colleague has here in this query my tasks. He would have the task to implement this functionality. So it's important for very helpful functionality that I can link every type of work item together. This would mean I have here my requirement can be linked to test cases. The test case can be linked to a bug to a task to a check-in of code. So every information is connected, and I can query when I see a bug, who has implemented this code, why is this bug, who tested this bug, and a lot of information connected together. What I wanted to show again is I can edit also the work items in Microsoft Excel. Maybe, for instance, requirements engineer doesn't want to work with Team Foundation Server or Visual Studio. We have an Excel integration here. So I can add and edit here all items, and they are synced back to Team Foundation Server. Regarding work item, we have also a web UI, which is called Team Web Access. So via a browser, I can access Team Foundation Server and can see work items, can edit work items. And it's very interesting if you need to work with customers which are not in your company. They can create bugs or test or new requirements also via a web UI. Okay. The next important thing was the reporting. Unfortunately, I have in Team Foundation Server, I got it not working. Normally, I have here a node reports where I can see all reports which are stored in Team Foundation Server. I can only present you a screenshot. And this is a screenshot with very important reports. bug progress. Based on this data, bugs, these work items stored in TFS, TFS can create these reports, and you can create custom reports because all this data is stored in the database. You have reporting services. You can create custom reports very easily. So let's take a look on the time. Because here, now we can link this basic functionality of TFS to application lifecycle management and how we can use it in SharePoint projects. What does mean application lifecycle management? I've used a definition from Wikipedia because every company who is creating ALM tools has its own definition, but it's all about process and life of an application. When you think about a product, this product has a life cycle, which starts maybe by requirements. Requirements are collected, the tool is designed, it's implemented, tested, and operated. And this means then application lifecycle management, and it's all about requirements management, architecture, release management, and so on. I have created a more simpler application lifecycle management here and will use it as my agenda for the next section here, and we'll start with SharePoint requirements management. And what's interesting to say is that SharePoint requirements management is very special. The Matthias you have seen is in a team of requirements engineers at this reinsurance company, and they are collecting requirements with Team Foundation Server and Quality Center of HP, sorry. And all these requirements are collected, they are prioritized, which requirement will be implemented in which release, which requirements are duplicates. So they are doing this work, they are doing the release planning, and as I showed already, Team Foundation Server is here a very helpful tool. You can create requirements very easily, I showed already. But what is missing in Team Foundation Server, and Matthias is one who is complaining this, is that you cannot export this as a Word document, and you cannot create a baseline, which means when you say we go into a release with a set of requirements, we need to make a baseline to say this was the starting point for this release. But maybe requirements are changing over time. You never know. You never can go back to this baseline where what we used for this release. But generally, Team Foundation Server is very helpful, especially in agile projects, to collect requirements and use them in your projects. Nothing more to say. Maybe for a CMMI-focused company, maybe they will use DORS or another requirements management tool for HR projects. I think it's very helpful. The next point is SharePoint architecture. I'm working as a SharePoint architect as this reinsurance company. So SharePoint architecture is very complex. So a wrong decision, maybe you get requirements. I get requirements from Matthias. I make a decision and discuss with my colleagues which way to go. We make this architecture, and when we are not very focused on build to last and build to change, which means we must be sure that the requirements will change. So we need to make an architecture which is flexible and can also change when the requirements are changing. Unfortunately, the tools which we can use in Team Foundation Server or in Visual Studio 2010 will only help for C# code, which means you have UML diagrams, class diagrams, you have new tools for layers, to design layers. They are focused mainly on .NET development. For SharePoint development, the tools are very limited. But what one helpful link for you is a URL or a project at CodePlex, SPG, SharePoint Guidance, It's a project from Microsoft where you can find documents and sample code, and they provide information about pattern, about reference implementations, and can be used as a good start for an architecture of an application. Does somebody knows this or already using it? Not very much. You, two people, yes. The next important step in the development lifecycle is the SharePoint development. The SharePoint developer has here a very complex task because an architect tells him how he needs to develop the code, but this code needs to be according to Microsoft guidelines, naming conventions, must be stable, testable, deployable. But SharePoint development is very, or can be very complex. You have seen this morning it was easy with Silverlight and with a simple content type. But if you go deeper, here it can be very complex, maybe to create a visual web part. A visual web part, you have seen it this morning. In an ideal constellation, it consists maybe of up to 10 files, which contains the resource file for multi-language, the control templates, the icons, a CAS policy, a feature receiver, and a lot of files needs to be created by the developer. The next problem in large projects is naming conventions. Because you know, Matthias described it, SharePoint extensions are installed in the same folder as SharePoint is installed. So here we have default features right beside our custom features. So here are naming conventions very important so that you can ensure that you do not override features from SharePoint with your own. Because when I deploy a feature at dashboard, it's overwritten, and if I retract my solution, this folder disappears. So you can make SharePoint really crash in a simple way. So here's an approach is to use naming conventions to prevent overwriting. The next big problem in larger projects are these GUIDs, these references a developer needs to find or to enter here. So it's not easy for a developer to write high-quality code in SharePoint. And what happens and what I see at a lot of companies is that each developer has built up his own tool library. Clear, they use Visual Studio and SharePoint Designer, but they also use, say, CKSDev, hands up, two. Okay. WSP Builder, hands, more hands. SharePoint Manager. Okay, you see, everybody is using a different tool set, but all these tools are creating different style of code. So when you are in a large project, every user, every developer use different tools, you end up in a mess. You have seen in 2010 it's getting better because we have more functionality, more templates, but it's all still limited. And CKSDev is targeting 2010, and some people are using it. So in a team with multiple or with a lot of developers, this will not help. Matthias already showed you our approach. What is important for us that we have one extension which is used by every developer so that the code that is generated looks the same for every developer. Matthias told you what is our approach, and what you get, or what we get with this approach is our code compliant to FXCOP and StyleCOP. Every other code you generate will produce a lot of violations. We are focused on our naming conventions. Everybody is using the same tool. And as you've seen with these wizards, we also are guiding newbies into SharePoint development. So this is one approach to get in large projects with a lot of team members higher quality code. Maybe you find a different approach, or everybody is using ZKS Dev. It's also fine. But again, FXCop, StyleCop, or other naming conventions must be implemented by the user itself. So previously, I also told about build automation. Build automation means we have the artifacts, and now we need a package which needs to be compiled. But what I see at a lot of customers is that one developer in the team does the building, he gets the source code and builds the code locally on his machine, and then he sends the compiled packages to an admin for installation. But what happens is a developer has always the newest frameworks installed, .NET 4.0 installed, so when the developer builds the code locally, he never gets a failure because of a missing assembly, because he always has the newest assemblies. So when we deploy this package into SharePoint, maybe then .NET, the framework 4.0 is not installed and the installation will fail. So here, and again, the next question is, a customer asked me how he can see if this code has been built with debug or with release configuration. So it's very hard to find out. So you need to force the building process to build a release version. And here also, Team Foundation Server helps us with the so-called team build. So every developer checks in his code, and the team build generates the package. So here in this demo, I can show you every team project has this node builds. And I have created already some team builds. What means? I say I have here my team build, and I want to build this project in this team build. I want to do it manually, but I can also tell TFS he should build this project maybe every day in the night. He should build all projects, or continuous integration, which means every time a developer checks in his code, this code is compiled, and if it fails, then the check-in is rejected, so that you can ensure that only code is in TFS which can compile. So I have chosen manual. And what I can do here is I can start a new team build. And what happens now is Team Foundation Server takes the source code from the database, puts this source code on a dedicated server which only has SharePoint DLLs which are also installed in production, and TFS compiles the code against this configuration, and if this is done, he takes the final compilation package onto a drop location. So this may take a while, so I will show you what happens here, because I'm building locally. You see, Team Foundation Server is collecting all the sources, is building the project, and then I have my so-called drop location, and here all my build results are stored with a number, and this is the result with a detailed log file. Oh, it was very fast. Here's my team build. He was successfully. And here I can see directly that no error appeared. So when I do this regularly, here I can see all my completed builds with all these numbers, and you can see I have two builds that have failed, and I can directly see here the log file. And can correct this build. So it's an important functionality that I can build centrally on TFS. I can see as a project manager, for instance, I can see every day, okay, my project is on track. If I see a lot of red crosses, I know as a project manager, oh, here's something going wrong. And especially in an agile project, it's important. In an agile project, you have iterations maybe of 13 days, and for instance in Scrum, and you say every 13 days you need to build and release or deploy and release. But if you are 5 days before release date, and every day you have a red cross, but you need to release after 13 days, then you can go back and say, okay, we have a problem in this code, he doesn't build, then let's take the last successful build, let's take this code and deploy this code. So you don't need to shift the release date, you have always a functional build which can be deployed. Is somebody using the team build in 1, 2, 3, 4? Very good. So source control and team build are maybe the first level, I would say, that somebody who is using TFS should be able to use, because the benefits are very big. So the next step in this cycle is SharePoint testing, but we have a separate session for testing, so I will skip this. And my most favorite current point, quality assurance, is now here. Quality assurance, what does this mean? This means we have now a package that has been built, this package has been tested, and now this package needs to be installed in SharePoint. But what happens is that the administrator is very afraid of this package because he doesn't know, are there any memory leaks, security problems, what is in this package, can I be sure to install it in SharePoint without getting problems. He's asking questions like, is this a sandbox solution, are there any enterprise features, security problems with run with elevated privileges or CAS policies. He has a lot of questions, but the problem is that in these packages, not only code, assembly code is contained, it contains also XML, ASPX, CSS, and this code cannot be checked automatically by the tools from Microsoft. We have a tool called FXCop. It can check assembly code. An additional tool is Microsoft StyleCop. It checks C# code for naming conventions, formatting, commenting. You have an additional important tool, SPDisposed Checker. It's also a free tool from Microsoft. It checks SharePoint code for memory leaks. But all these tools are only checking assembly code or C# code, and all the XML and ASPX is not validated. So we created, again, I must say, a custom tool, because FXCop cannot check XML code. I can show you here in my project how these code analysis tools are working. I have again here my project, and have here run code analysis. Now FXCop is running. Without errors. Great. So normally, okay, simple code, no warnings. Again here, we have the tool StyleCop, which checks C# code. And now he's complaining the documentation header must contain he's complaining that here the commenting is wrong. He was missing this. And he's complaining a lot about this code. And again, when I introduced our software factory, I told you that we create code which will not be complained by StyleCorp. StyleCorp likes this position of namespace of using statements. So all these templates from Visual Studio are not according to StyleCorp rules. So you have to change your code manually to be according to StyleCorp. And again, in functionality is the calculation of code metrics, which will calculate numbers of your code to make it more measurable, which means you have lines of code 4, cyclomatic complexity is an important indicator. It tells you how deep is your code structured. You have maintainability index, which is calculated, which means how good this code can be managed afterwards. So all this functionality only checks this C# code and not the XML here, which I also have in my code. All these lines of codes are not counted. You have seen 4 lines of code are only these lines. All the XML is not counted. So this is an important limitation. And again, here in projects where you only have XML, which means lines of code O, maintainability index of 100, not very useful. So what we did, and we want to publish them again also at CodePlex, are 2 tools. I have to check the clock. So both these tools are calculating WSP packages and checking the code for a better code quality. Unfortunately, the time is not enough to show you. So I need to go next to SharePoint deployment. SharePoint deployment means we have our compiled package, and now we need to install this package into SharePoint. And what the objective is, the installation must be automated. What we achieved at our reinsurance company is that when we create code, when we create a new release, we can send this package to the administrator, and he only clicks a batch file, and all this code is installed. What I see at other companies is that the developer sends his code with a large book of installation instructions, and now the admin has to install it manually, has to create site collections and so configurations manually, and he has to do it multiple times on multiple machines, and it's a huge impact, huge costs, because we need to deploy this package to all environments. And what happens, because the administrator doesn't want to do this every day, in SharePoint projects, deployments are done very late in the project. Developers work, developers deploy locally, and far by the end of a project, the first deployment into a test system is performed. And then often problems appear, oh, on my machine it works, in integration or test system it doesn't work. So early deployment into test systems is critical. Again, it becomes more complex if you need to update existing versions, version 1.0, 1.1, and you need to deploy 2.0 with new content types. then you have to maybe to activate a new feature in every existing web, then you have an installation process which can take more than 1 hour to install this package, and this must be automated. We had a lot of hope in 2010 when we saw this screenshot. The screenshot says we have post-deployment steps, which means activate features, and our hope was that this is a script which you can use in multiple environments. But this screen only works. Oh, time is over, Michael. Sorry. This dialog only works on the local machine. You cannot use it on multiple machines. So what we did, we have chosen MS Build for our deployments because MS Build is available in .NET. MS Build is the language of Visual Studio, and you can script almost everything. And in our software factory, and it's recommended, I would recommend you to check this. We always have a separate project for application deployment, and I have there 4 MS Build files. And within these MS Build files, we have proven and tested deployment process for SharePoint. And what we can do, we have here some targets. What do you want to do before deploy or after deploy? You can then call SDSADM or PowerShell after a deployment, before upgrade, after upgrade. So take a look on this. The advantage is when I compile this project, every WSP file is copied into one folder, so I have finally all these packages here. I have here my solutions, have my batch files for start deploy, undeploy, upgrade, and I can send this package to an administrator. He double clicks start deploy, and the package is installed. So take a look on it. Alternatives are PowerShell. Maybe a lot of you are using PowerShell for deployments or batch files. We have good experiences with MS Build. And the when you want to use the deployment very automatically, there's one approach we are using in a lot of companies. Because I go back to my build. Here I have my build I have done before. And what we have done, in TFS you can set a build quality and can say this code is ready for deployment. And TFS sends events. When I change this build quality, TFS can create an event. And in our scenario, we have in each SharePoint farm, we have a web service which is listening to TFS, and when somebody says this package is ready for deployment to test, then this server will get the package and will install it locally. So then we have a fully automated deployment through these environments with one click directly into TFS, a very useful functionality in Team Foundation Server. So finally, I started with some bad news. And with TFS, ALM, and some tools which you need to include in your process, you can increase the quality, you can reduce all these manual steps, and you can get more transparency in your projects. And finally, SharePoint development can make fun because of all these issues you will not have anymore. So ALM is a must in my eyes. Team Foundation Server is a stable and proven product for ALM. There are some missing pieces, SPCOP, SPSF, can resolve them. And for more information, please go to these websites or contact us or me when you have questions. We are doing this in a large projects, so it's not an idea, it's working. So please contact me if you are interested in more. So thank you for this attention.